Welcome to Eclad Chat. Eclad Chat. Streaming live to you from Eclad's hidden gem in Midtown Manhattan. Eclad Chat is down-to-earth broadcasting on big city events and the events industry, as well as fashion, jewelry, accessories, and lifestyle coverage in an intimate NYC way. Join us each and every Wednesday with host Casey Benane as we chat up industry happenings, industry news, and perform live interviews with industry talents here on Blog Talk Radio at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Interested in contacting us or interested in attending one of our live shows? Email us at y-cladchat@y-clad.com. Eclad Chat begins in 3, 2, 1.
Hello, everyone. Welcome. I'm Casey Benane, and welcome to Eclad Chat, where we chat about big city events, fill you in on industry news, keep you in the know with fashion and style, with a focus on jewels and accessories, touch on lifestyle education, and keep you abreast of industry content and information that will develop both your personal and professional lives. And of course, with me today, as usual, I have Kaylin.
Yes. Hi, everyone. We have a really exciting interview today, but before we get into that, I have to let you know about Eclad's Hidden Gem promotion for this month. And there's 10 days left, right? April has 30 days?
Yeah.
I believe so. So 10 more days.
We're at 30 or 31?
I don't know.
Okay, 10 or 11.
Yes. You're cutting it close. So this is our promotion for April. It's $100 off your total venue rental for 4 hours or more. So we've never done this before, so it's a great opportunity just to save some extra money if you're planning on having an event anyway. Yeah. So make sure you take advantage of that, and you can call us here at 212-644-6445, and one of our representatives will answer your questions and help you set up your event.
Okay, guys, in just a few moments, we will be talking to Rochelle Magno, founder of The Lash Gallery. Rochelle is a successful entrepreneur with a powerful story on helping breast cancer survivors regain their confidence. So hang tight. We'll be talking to her in just a few seconds.
And a little recap of last week's show. We had celebrity wardrobe stylist Tatiana Ami on for series we have at the second Wednesday of every month.
Yeah.
Yes, and it was super fun, like you said. We talked about fashion, what's in, what's out, the usual trends, and the Coachella just happened. We talked about kind of the boho style and different Coachella-influenced lines, and then a little bit of controversy with the Bethany Frankel comments we touched on, as well as Kylie Jenner's claims about creating wigs or... You can just listen to that.
Creating life as a whole, I guess.
So we talked about that. It was fun, though. Shatanya's always great to have on the show. Super fun, as always.
A lot of insight. I think we could touch a little bit of business stuff as well.
She talked about some of the projects she was working on, which is great.
So if you guys missed that, of course.
Yes, on Blog Talk Radio and on YouTube.
Okay. And okay, guys, so like we said, promised that founder of Lash Gallery is here, Rochelle Magno. And so we're going to talk to her about the packages that she offers at her salon, or should I say boutique? Is it a
boutique?
Okay, and we're going to talk about that. And we're going to talk about, you know, the services that she's offering, the personalized services that you're offering for cancer survivors. Is it only for cancer survivors, or is it like...
Not so much. I would say anyone that's undergoing alopecia or just have a difficult time just growing thicker hair or just enhance what you don't have.
Okay, well, let's first welcome Rochelle.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, so before we actually get into like the nitty gritty and like all the important stuff, not that this is important, it's important to me. tell us, you know, a fun fact about you, like something that we wouldn't expect or, you know, something cool.
Well, as you know, I'm already in the beauty industry. We talk about beauty and fashion.
Yeah.
Can never have enough of that. But fun fact about me is that I actually like extreme sports. I'm into ATVs.
That's unexpected.
Dirt bikes, skydiving. Yeah. Those are the things that kind of gets me excited.
Where would you go to do something like that?
It's different places. There's a lot of places in New Jersey. Mm-hmm. If you do the skydiving, they fly you over to somewhere where it's nothing but an open field. And you go with a whole bunch of other skydivers and you just jump on this big giant plane 10,000 feet off the ground. I think that was that's something different. I think everyone should do that. For the heights, I'll just, you know, once, so just do it.
I'm like mortified because I'm afraid of heights. I'm like, okay,
it's not about what Once you get up there, you kind of like, all right, I just have to do it. And when you do it, it doesn't even feel like you're falling. So I don't know. You kind of looking up right at the horizon and the sky, and everything seems quiet all of a sudden. So it's more like a spiritual thing that you feel like you're going through.
Really?
Yeah, it's very peaceful up there. And then by the time, before you know it, you're already on the ground. It takes like, just like that. But definitely try.
Yeah. I've never heard anyone report back saying it was scary. So everyone who's done it has had a lot of fun.
So does it mean that you're going to, it's something that you're
going to? Yeah, I'm going to do it eventually. Yeah.
However, the wave form is a little scary.
Oh, yeah.
It says if your parachute doesn't open, so you can't.
Say
what
you've
done. Just you say hello.
Just get that point.
Decide if there needs to be signed. Oh my god, that's the point where I would run out the door. Like, seriously, I would just run out the door.
It says sign here if you die.
It's a little bit different. I mean, okay, there's trees and things there. I mean, you're not that high. You might break a leg. But if you, like, fall out of a plane, there's just a forget it.
Yeah, so it has like beauty, and then you do all these extreme sports too. So mm-hmm. Great little combination. Mm-hmm. And so back to the beauty, what kind of inspired you to open your own beauty boutique? Was that something you've always wanted to do?
No, actually it didn't even come to that point. It was mostly, I could do the lashes, let me do the lashes. I have two sisters, so I just like, let me just put these on them. Let me do it some more. Let me do some friends. Come on, you need some lashes too. Come on. So I just started doing it. It came to a point where everybody started asking, can you do one too? And so, you know, people were just like, I'll pay you. I said, you want to pay me? Oh, sure. Let's just keep doing it. So it was more organic than anything else. It was, it got to a point where, do you take credit cards? So I was like, I don't want to take credit cards. I'm just doing this for fun. This is a hobby. So they're like, no, you have to take credit cards. So it got to a point where you had so many people asking to pay by credit card, but I had no choice.
So wait, were you doing something completely different?
I was working in film. I was in production, so I did completely something. I did the film thing. So I worked for a couple of reality shows, and I did a lot of clearances. So I actually flew to different states to do that, and that was fun. But I did also, I'm a licensed cosmetologist. So I did that in high school, and I had my license for that, but I never really thought myself to do hair.
Yeah.
But I like the beauty part of it. So I dabbled in both of those at the same time, but I thought I had a passion for film, which I still do, don't get me wrong, but I think this part kind of took over. So that's kind of like how I kind of transitioned to this part of the industry, which I never really planned on.
So it's sort of like it chose you and you didn't really choose it. That's what I got.
Basically. Yeah.
That was really neat.
Basically.
I think that's kind of, it's kind of like a first. Like, it is a really interesting story. I would not have expected that. Okay, so tell us a little bit more, or tell us about the Lash Gallery. So first of all, it's based in New York City, correct?
Yes. Well, we started off in New Jersey.
Okay.
I started off there, and then another colleague of mine who was also licensed and certified with the same company, which is Extreme Lashes. They're globally found. One of the well-known.
I think I've heard of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very popular. Yeah, they're pretty global, and we both are licensed or certified under them. And she egged me on. She's like, look, you just got to come to New York. There's not enough lash professionals. I think you should come. I was like, you know what? Let me give it a shot. So I did. So 4 years later, I'm here.
In New York. So that's how you got started. Mm-hmm. So you guys are based in Jersey and not New York,
or you have locations.
Okay.
Location.
All right.
Yes.
And so I guess that's right. Sorry, I just kind of threw myself off for a second.
So also along with that, you help cancer survivors as well. We love what you're doing. And tell us kind of about the packages you're offering for cancer survivors. So they could come to you, and how would you? And use your products.
Well, let me start off by, I had, with all the women that I constantly see, I actually came across, she wasn't a cancer patient. It was mostly, she was a teacher, and she came to me, and lashing was the only thing that made her feel good. Her daughter was 5 at the time, and she...
Lashing, is that the term that...
Lashing, yeah.
Okay.
and that was her way of just trying to get away.
Yeah.
And during that time, her daughter was 5, and her daughter was diagnosed with cancer. So she struggled with that. Her daughter came to see, came to the shop, and that was kind of like my first interaction with someone that was going through it, ever. So I didn't know how to take that. So that was like a five-year-old, like no hair, she has this tooth coming out of her nose, and you're like, but you still have to act normal because you don't want her to scare her, because you don't. That was my first encounter. So I knew her side, but then you know, as you continue to hear her story. And you know, you're a therapist, you know, just like a hairdresser. You hear her pains and you know what she goes through as a mom, and you know, you try to be of help, be helpful as much as possible. You so you're only doing your end to make her feel good. But what else can you do? So I told her, you know what, I can't just approach her because kids are a little bit more different. I said maybe if I come across something else where there's another female, another woman a little more older that I could kind of ask these questions, maybe I could get them in this full understanding. And just so it happened, like maybe a year or two later, another cancer patient looked me up and said, I know you don't deal with cancer clients, and I just don't know where to go. I've gone to a few beauticians, and they don't know what to do with me. I have breast cancer, I'm about to go to chemo, and my lashes are falling out, and I don't know what to do. So I was very honest with her. There's not much I can do because, you know, cosmetologists are taught to deal with hair, you know, deal with what you have. And at the end of the day, we're taught to make you feel beautiful, right? That's the only point. And I felt like I failed because there was nothing that I could do for her because I wasn't taught to do that. So I tell you what, I'm not going to say no. I said, but you have to give me a chance because I don't know. Let's try some things. Maybe I could do some research, and maybe we could try to figure something out. And she said, "Would you really do that for me?" I said, "Well, I don't know how much I can do, but let me just see what I can. You know, let's see what I can find." So we did a few trials. I found a few companies that does a tattoos, which is like when you stick it on. And people ordering it, like one of those playful tattoos.
Temporary tattoos.
There's actually a company that does that, and it's made of vegetable dye. So we went in that approach. So let's try to see if this works in different sizes and shape. And then
for the eyelashes?
For the eyebrows.
Oh, for eyebrows, okay.
Because based on my the research that I found,
yeah.
It's not really the eyelashes that bother them, it's the eyebrows.
Okay.
It makes them feel as if they feel more sick than what they really are. And of course, in the way people interact with them.
Yeah.
So they tend to feel more like, am I sicker than what I look? So and even with the hair on their head, that doesn't bother them as much to some people, but when the eyebrows go, it's like a shock.
Yeah, it's like the center of your face.
Yeah, that's what people see. They're looking straight at you, and that's when it kind of hits them, like, I'm really sick.
Yeah.
So we did a few trials. They have this thing called lace brows. It's just for eyebrows. So there's different shapes, and some people use it. It depends on the glue. Some people react to it. So there's different things that we try to approach, and that's kind of what the direction I did with her. And I also did extensions on her actual eyebrows. So I created an actual extension to make her actual eyebrows. So, and then it's a new thing that we're trying to test out. It's called microblading. It's like a semi-permanent tattoo. So there's different phases that we want to go to, especially when a client that's going through all these treatments, their skin texture changes, their color changes. So those are things you have to keep in mind. And they're more sensitive. So they're already feeling sick from all the treatments they're getting. So you don't want them to feel, you know, sick even more with the things that you're trying on them. So I think we're very careful trying to find like a happy medium, something they tolerate. We don't recommend them to use this on an everyday basis, but definitely something that they can, if they feel like they want to feel like whole right at the end of it.
That was going to be the next question. Okay. Is it something that they can wear permanently, like not permanently, but like
a little bit longer? Yeah, I mean, I would say the lesser harsh is with the tattoo.
Okay.
With the one that you went on. You could try that first for just the first trial, but the other one's a little bit more harsh on the skin. So until we find a nice combination that will be complementary for all types, right now that's kind of like the process that we're trying to do now to try to figure out what works best for those patients.
It's amazing. I feel like I just listening to everything that you were saying, I'm going to kind of go off script a little bit. I just, you know, so when, so they can't, this is not something that can be used every day, but as you're talking, I'm thinking, so say you're going to treatment, mm-hmm. is that something, like, can you still wear, you know, because I know, like, some women still want to feel beautiful, right. They want to feel like a woman, you know,
right.
despite whatever it is that they're going through,
right.
despite the changes in their body. Is that, like, can you still wear the lashes or the, you know, the tattooed, what do you call it, the brow?
You can, those, that's, you know, that's made out of vegetable dye.
So like a chemo wouldn't
no, it won't harm.
Okay.
And of course you could also do the makeup. So depending on what type of makeup, that don't exclude that. You know, we can still use the makeup.
Yeah.
It just depends on what type of makeup you're using and you know what your skin. Don't ignore what your skin is trying to tell you.
Yeah.
You know, if you're itchy and you're you
then
know
that's a sign.
Yeah, just let go. Don't try to push it with anything else.
Yeah.
So you know, and even if you've been wearing that makeup forever, you know, stop because you don't know what your body's telling you, especially when you're more sensitive to the treatment.
Yeah, for sure.
I think it's great that you like kind of helped her out. It kind of led to doing more things in that realm. So were people receptive to, you know, like cancer patients getting the eyebrows? Or that more people coming to you now that they heard her story?
Yeah, I think it's out there, but I feel like I haven't done enough.
Oh.
So I feel like there's more to do. I want to be able to, that's why we're still in the development stage.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, I want to be able to introduce this not to just the people in my shop. I want to introduce it to every shop so that they don't turn away other cancer patients. So they do know how to treat them going forward and what options there are down the road. So it'll be easy. So we can stick to that guideline. Like that's what we just petition to, right?
Yeah. Seminars, that kind of thing, educate people.
Yeah.
I think that's amazing.
I think that's important. That's, you know, a lot of people are afraid. So, you know, at the end of the day, like, I'm not going to deal with someone. Like, what am I going to do? She has no hair. What am I going to do? So I think just like anything else, if you educate them, tell them these are the certain options you can approach them with. You'll feel good. The client feel good. And, you know, it feels like you didn't give up on them. So these
Yeah.
There's not a lot of places offering that at all. So it's great to be one of them that is helping.
Yeah. I feel like a lot of places don't offer a lot of things to make women, you know, when you go through this experience, like, I'm not talking firsthand, but I'm just thinking, just the things that I go through in general, I can't imagine going through that, and you know, feeling, I don't want to say less than, but, you know,
mm-hmm.
women are so hard on themselves,
right.
you know what I mean, and then you find yourself feeling less than,
mm-hmm.
for lack of a better word,
right.
And there aren't many solutions, I feel like,
mm-hmm.
for women to, you know, resort to help them through those, the various stages of cancer, or
right.
various stages of, even the emotional, or, you know, the different things that come with it. So, no, I think that's great.
Yeah.
Okay, so, I guess we're kind of talking about that now, like, empowerment, like, you know, let's talk about empowerment as it applies to, like, beauty, and do you think it's important for women to, I guess, you know, go through the, I don't know, wear makeup or to do various things to feel empowered as women? Do you think that's an important thing? Or?
Not necessarily. It depends on, I mean, some people feel that. They need to.
Mm-hmm.
Some people feel like they need to wear high heels all the time. You know, it's just like you feel like you need, that's their security blanket.
Yeah.
I have clients that come see me every 2 weeks, faithfully. There's no lashes that came out. There's, you have perfect lashes of the, you just came to see me, but they insist, like, one came out. I need to be whole. I'm like, it's not that serious, but okay.
Yeah.
So some people feel like they need that. The service that I'm providing is, if you need that, we're here.
Yeah.
Or let's help try to find that place for you so you can feel a little bit whole, if that's what makes you feel better. But to me, when I see a cancer patient walking around with not a wig or no brows, I feel like that's the warrior in them. I feel like, you know, I'm fighting and this is what I'm still doing.
Yeah.
So I think that's important. I don't think you have to hide that.
Right.
But it's definitely something that an option is always helpful for the people that want to get, you know, to cover up what they don't want to say that they're fighting so hard for.
Yeah, it's not like a matter of preference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know, totally.
Yeah.
I just, you know, I just, it just, my mind goes in so many different directions with this, because I just feel like, you know what, I guess because, you know, my preference would be, I need to feel like a woman.
You know, do your hair and makeup.
Although I don't really do that now, hence what my head always looked like. But I just feel like, you know, but when you go through the, you know, when you go through something hard or terrible, you just feel, you just want to always
feel. Just saw having a bad day, and like you have a nice outfit and your hair's done, you feel a little better. I do, but like a lot of people feel better if they're looking good.
That's true. Yeah.
Okay, so going to the business side of things, we have a lot of entrepreneurs who listen to the show. And did you have any adversities pursuing this career path, since it wasn't something you set out to do? So was there any unexpected little bumps along the way?
Yeah, because when I got into this industry, it was fairly new. There was very little lash stylists out there, reputable lash stylists out there, and it got to a point where the company that I was certified under, I was signing a contract saying I can't charge a certain price. So of course you have to deal with your competition. So you have to say, well, your price costs a certain amount for the person down the street. So you get that often, even with your friends, like, well, why do you charge that much? And you, the person down the street, charged X, Y, and Z.
Yeah, we get that here at the venue too.
Like, so I was like, okay, well, I'm not competing with that.
Yeah.
But I tell you what, why don't you go down the street, and then when you're done with that, I can go fix it, and then I charge a different price. So, I mean, but don't get me wrong, when I first started, I'm like, maybe you're right. Maybe I shouldn't charge that much. Or maybe, so you start second guessing, like, what is my worth really?
Yeah.
Is it, should I go less than one? Like, no. And I, as I come to realize how skilled I am and how much, a lot of people that are not skilled, and you see the type of garbage that's out there, and you kind of like, oh, well, people definitely have to come see me because I can correct the work that's out there.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like how I stuck on to that. And I just said, look, you know what? You won't just go to any doctor, right, to any specialist. You want to know that they actually dealt with that particular issue. You just won't go to anyone. So I feel like I'm a specialist. I'm in that field. So if you need to come see me to get perfect lashes,
there's a price that you have to pay.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And then, too, when we're dealing with your face, I mean, you know, that's the first thing people see. And you want it to look the best that it can, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that makes sense to me. Okay, so for entrepreneurs trying to build their dreams or they build their businesses, tell us how you determined your brand. Like, you know, the look, the feel, the overall message that you wanted to sort of present to the world.
Right. Well, I knew... when you looked at my brand, I wanted to for people to see, like, I see elegance.
Mm-hmm.
And I see not so much luxury, but definitely comfort and knowledge. Like, when you look at my website and, you know, and when you speak to me, you know that I know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of research and trials and error that I had to do to get to that experience. And that you are actually picking my brain and seeing the end result from all the things that I've done. So I would say figure out what you want to do, what you want, how you want people to see you in your business. And then take it from there. Whatever you do going forward, you want to make sure that that's the message that you're bringing. Everything from social media, from how you talk to people, or how you... do customer service. Even when the customer leaves your table, it's still, that's not the end of it. You still have to treat them accordingly based on what you want your brand to be recognized as.
Yeah, that's a really great tip. I mean, do you have any more tips for someone who's trying to create a plan to start a business, and maybe a few steps they should take in the beginning to really make their business start to thrive?
Yeah, people fail to research. I think research. Do your homework. See what's out there. Don't be afraid to go back to get more education about it. Even if it's not that field, if you're just doing more of the business stuff and you're doing the beauty, you know, do both. Don't stop there. Just see how everything works. See what the competition looks like. See what the trends are. What are other people talking about? What are things that are lacked on that's not in the beauty industry, and where can you meet those needs? I think those are the things that could get you a step of the game before you even start. So I think those are important before, you know, when you start your brand and your business.
No, I agree. That's what you did too. Since there's not a lot out there doing the same thing, so it's like researching what's new. Well, you can start like just based off of like people hearing about you and friends and stuff.
Yeah.
But for other entrepreneurs, just seeing, you know, no one else is covering a certain aspect of the beauty industry, kind of getting it before someone else starts it.
Because everyone, I mean, every corner just a lash place. Every corner. It feels like it's everywhere, and it's fine. If that's what you want to start off with, yeah. But you know, end of the story, what makes you different?
Yeah.
Right?
No, true. As you're saying, are there any lash places?
There are. When you take the lash places, it's a whole bunch around the story.
Maybe.
So opening up business is like, okay, so what makes you different?
That's right. Yeah. And that was going to be my next question to you. Like, what makes your, why do you stand out and what makes you different?
I think clients love the fact that I customize.
Right.
So, because not every eye is the same, and everyone has a different lifestyle. I think those things have to play a part. Not everybody has the catalog. You know,
right.
A catalog may look great on you, might not look good on you. So it's just like everyone that comes into my
checkbook. Exactly.
Like the full volume and the long length and you know the feathered look and all these other things. I said that's great, but do you actually have lashes? Let's start with that. So those are the things you have to be realistic, and we're big on keeping your lashes healthy and making sure that you decide when to stop wearing them, not the other way around.
Yeah.
So if it's improperly placed or applied, you know, you might end up getting bald, your lashes start balding out, and with a premature pullout, that may happen because it's improperly applied.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the things that we don't do. There's a big no-no. That's when we do a lot of
things. I didn't even realize that can happen.
Absolutely. I have clients that come to me that are not sick at all, but they look like cancer clients. And I mistake them for that. I say, I'm sorry, what did you go through? And they're like, nothing. I was like, what do you mean? Why does your lashes look bad? You don't have any lashes. Oh, I went down the street to, you know, the shop. I've been going for a year. I said, is it crazy glue or weed glue that they use on you? And those are the things. And of course, it gets to a point where it's too late. Come see me when you have 10 natural lashes on your eyes. There's nothing I could do. That's when I say you have to go to a real specialist, which is a dermatologist, that could probably assist you with that. There's nothing much I could do with that. So those shops, if they're not aware, they will damage your natural lashes.
So there's definitely a technical process to this.
Absolutely.
It's not just... So like I'm really as you can see, I don't really... So, you know, I'm really learning from this. I'm like, wow, okay, so... why would someone use crazy glue? I'm just curious.
Just like anyone else. They're not. The stylist is not educated. The consumer is not educated.
I would think consumers would just say.
You would think that. And if it hurts, don't you think it's time to just walk away? But people that. But if you don't do your research, that's what it is. You're like, maybe it's supposed to hurt like this. Maybe my eyes are supposed to burn. Maybe, maybe.
That's a good burn.
Yeah, this must be the good stuff. Like, you know, you kind of, you know, you have to pay attention to what your body's telling you.
Yeah.
It's hurting for a reason. And people tend to ignore that. And there's a lot of shops like that. And they don't, you know, and they tell you, like, you know, and you get that. Like, just let me do your lashes. Okay. And people fail to ask. You should ask. Are you licensed? Are you certified? Who taught you? How many times have you done this? How many returning clients came to you with the same procedure? Ask them. Don't be ashamed. If they can't easily produce those things to you, let me see your work. And they can't provide those things, then you might want to second guess of why you even want to consider them.
Yeah.
Do your homework. You know, there's always someone down the street that wants to get your, you know, let me put the lashes on. Let me do it. No. And I have grown women crying on the phone saying, you know, and I tell them, like, your eyelashes are damaged. There's nothing much I can do. And... What do you mean you can't do nothing for me? I said, well, it's gotten to the point where
they just don't go back, right?
Wow. Doesn't go back anymore.
I'm constantly pulling on my eyelashes. So as
an no, 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 no. And you have like pretty lashes,
really?
Nice and long, and you want, you see these?
No, because like since a child, you know what? I have like a sky in my eye, so like my lashes kind of curl down sometimes and it just irritates it. So I'm always like pulling, pulling at them and not realizing, as I'm talking to you, like I'm having like an aha, but I feel
like,
realize
the
importance of certain.
What have I been doing all these years?
But no, I always assume that they grow back.
They do, but you're actually, when you're prematurely pulling them out, you're taking away its life. So what it is, it's like, so lashes grows between 60 and 90 days. We don't know when the lifeline ends and starts. So and some of them grow faster, some of them grow slower.
Mm-hmm.
So when you interrupt the actual lifeline from that particular bowl or that follicle,
mm-hmm.
you're actually weakening before it gets fully get to its mature state.
I probably just, yeah.
I'll do that.
So what do you do when, like, they're irritating you? Because they don't just... Okay, I'm sorry. I'm just going completely left with this conversation. Okay.
Mascara. Mascara will help too. Just do a quick mascara.
I actually put mascara on today, which I don't normally do, but I feel like with the mascara, it annoys me more. Is that...
Really?
Is that
usually
long?
It pushes it away.
Usually, yeah.
Maybe I just don't know what I'm doing. That could clearly be it, because we know how I am.
So I'm curious. Say someone like Casey went into your boutique, or
mm-hmm.
the average client. What is the process like for determining, what kind of eyelashes they should have?
Especially for someone that just doesn't know.
Yeah, and it's like, can you just do it in like an hour, get your lashes, or how's that?
Well, see me, I think it's important to know what your needs are
mm-hmm.
and what I can deliver. So a consultation is very important. Like I said, everything's customized. So I see what your natural lashes can hold, how strong they are, how long they are, and what's realistic for you. And then I tell you what shape I think works for you. And then you tell me, well, at that time you don't know, right? So I'm like, all right, Michelle, let me see this type of design you want to give me. So are you trying to be seductive look? Do you want the, you always look like you're awake? What is the direction you want to go here? And sometimes I have clients that come in with pictures. I like, I want this. Can you make it happen? I said, yes, sort of. Let me see what we got. And that's kind of like where we start. And then, I take before and after pictures often. And then, so you can see what I've done and what you looked before. So
right.
you have something to compare to. And then, as you continue to come see me on a regular basis, then we start tweaking it more. And then you become a little bit more knowledgeable about your design. Like, Michelle, I think I want more of a... more volume on my baseline, and you start telling me stuff like, hey, "What you doing that?"
Yeah.
So it's fun. Then you start playing around a little more, and then you start becoming a little bit more comfortable with the design you choose. Well, oftentimes, a lot of my clients like the ones that I get.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Just is it possible for your eye, like for you to get infection?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Just like anything else. You have to clean your tools. You have to make sure the person that's applying these have. Everything's clean and everything's brand new, nothing's being reused. You want to make sure their hands are clean. Just pay attention to that. And infections come anyway.
Yeah.
Pink eye can happen, you can transfer those things to the client, especially if the tools are not properly cleansed.
Mm-hmm.
Or the client might have another infection that they might not be telling you completely or sharing those things with you. So it's up to the stylist as well to make sure their tools are clean.
Yeah.
So yeah, definitely. You definitely get infections.
Wow. And that's the scenario you gave, that's like during
the process. Yeah.
What about after, like you go home? Is that at all?
Well, it depends. If you have allergies, if it's the season for you, you're more sensitive to certain things.
Mm-hmm.
I call it lash allergies. There's certain times of the year that you may have the seasonal allergies, pollen and everything. Then one month or out of the blue, which you never get allergies, your eye starts itching. And I tell my clients, oh, you have the lash allergies. I mean, it's common. This is it's common, but not common.
Yeah.
Because it happens only maybe once a year. Maybe you might not experience it at all. So you do get that, that irritation feeling, but sometimes we don't know. Until after the fact.
Mm-hmm.
Learned a lot.
I know, I really feel like I took it a lot. I was like, wow.
Yeah. So before we let you go, we ask these three questions, or four questions, to everyone who comes on the show. So the first, since we like talk about business, events, and fashion. So for events, what is the most memorable event that you've ever attended, and what made it so special to you?
Okay, so let's see. I don't know if you can say this. When I actually opened up my my letter from New Jersey when I first started my business, and it says my...
It is an event.
Yeah, and it says it's a formation of my business. Seeing that for the first time, like, oh, this is for real. This is me? This is for real. So I thought that was like, that was a big step for me. Because,
yeah.
you know, I always worked under someone. You know, I had no problem working with other people, but to say, like, you're on your own, like, this is you. So it was kind of like, that was like, I have to say, that was one of the biggest ones that I got to say, like, an achievement.
When you received your license, was the next thought, like, was the next step, okay, I need to get a location, or was there, like, a, was there some sort of phase or stage in between, okay, I'm now, like, you know, an entity.
Mm-hmm.
Do I go get a location, or am I still, like, doing things maybe from home or?
Yeah, I was, a lot of times I actually started from home. So, because again, it was only a hobby.
Yeah.
Come on, friends, come on over. I'm giving out lashes. So it started off that way, and then that's when the New York was introduced to me, and I was like, oh, all right, time to do the commercial space, time to move it up. And that's when I knew it was like time. This is time to move, you know, get to the next phase of your business.
Yeah. Okay, I went off track, so I was like, where did she go? Okay, so back to our core question. Okay, so what three jewelry, pieces of jewelry or accessories should a woman, like essential that a woman should have or should not leave the house with?
Earrings.
Okay.
I love the earrings. Maybe the small, dainty ones. Those are nice, don't have to be loud, but definitely nice for you every day. Necklace, small, dainty. I like dainty stuff for some reason.
Yeah.
But rings, I do like rings. Different types of rings.
Oh, these are pretty. Yeah. Oh, that's pretty.
Thank you. Yes, so I think rings are a nice compliment to everyone. I mean, I know, I was going to say something else. It's not necessarily an accessory, but I think a motorcycle. But that's
different.
It's
not a motorcycle. And nail art. I love your nails, right?
Thank
Very
you.
Fun.
Thank you.
Yes. And then also, are you a lipstick or a lip gloss girl?
I'm kind of both, but I wear lip gloss a lot during the day. Definitely, you have to do lipstick for events and
yeah.
I
think
so.
Okay, I agree with that.
Yeah, I'm both.
Okay,
sure.
For you. Okay, so your favorite accessory designer or jewelry designer, if you have one?
Well, I do have one. Well, actually, I'm wearing some right now. This is a Debbie Brooks
mm-hmm.
of Ray.
Beautiful. I love the detail on it.
Yeah, the Art Deco. That's one of her things. That's why I like it so much.
Yeah.
This is a Jar. What do you say? Jar. I can't say the word.
Mm-hmm.
They do a lot of dainty bracelets.
Yeah.
And of course, Henry Bendel.
Me too. Big fan.
That's three. So if you just choose one.
Okay.
Choose one.
Okay, fine. Those are my top three.
Okay, so before we let you go, if you can, you know, tell our listeners how they can find you, your social handles, like any information you want to put out there so that people can, you know where you are.
Okay, well, my handle is at the Lash Gallery. My website is eyelashgallery.com. And you can also find me on Twitter with at the Lash Gallery. I think that's about it.
Yeah?
Yeah. Facebook, Facebook, LLC. There you go.
Perfect. Thank you so much for joining us today.
A lot of fun.
I know,
super informative.
Super informative. Like, seriously, I was like, okay. But no, we had a lot of fun. And hopefully, maybe, you know, you'll drop by again in our next season to talk to us about what you have going on.
Yes, I would love that. Thank you again for having me.
No problem. Okay, guys, we're going to take a quick break. When we return, we'll have the news events and the design feature of the day.
Eclad is a boutique for luxurious handmade goods. From jewels to leather to fashion accessories, our merchandise is 95% handcrafted, made from the finest of materials from across the globe. Exceptional and brilliant quality is the absolute standard here at Eclad. The majority of the items we carry are one of a kind and completely unique, with only a limited number ever produced. Our collection is diverse, offering you a plethora of accoutrements to select from. The decor of our boutique is both contemporary and elegant, a unique fusion of an exclusive and indulgent shopping experience coupled with New York's social scene and lifestyle. We invite you to come experience our 57th Street Oasis. But if you're not in New York, just head over to eclad.com for your one-of-a-kind, beautiful, artistic find. And remember, love life and wear it well.
Welcome back, guys. We are back with the design feature of the day, our silver drops earrings by Zan.
Zan.
Close. I was going to check with you before, but I did not. So, Zan jewelry. And of course, everyone knows why I am not wearing them today. So, Casey is wearing them. They're super fun.
Wait, why are you wearing them?
My ears are pierced, Casey.
Sorry.
So, when I was an earring piece, I will not be wearing it, unfortunately. So these silver drop hoops are silver and resin three-tiered hoop earring. And so they're two silver hoops linked by an inner resin hoop. And you can get them either lavender or tan brown. You are wearing the tan?
Yeah.
Awesome. So, what happened to that one?
So and they can come in, okay, so they you can do different things with them. You can have them all one level, mm-hmm. or they can hang in three tiers.
Awesome. So how do you make them the other levels for people on YouTube who are watching?
So the resin piece can open, and you can just put all the pieces together, and they can come together like this.
That's awesome.
So
it's a super versatile piece. Yeah, you can play around with it, which is fun. And again, in lavender or silver or tan. And so, super statement piece, great to throw on with the outfit to spruce it up, and unique yet functional, and handcrafted as always, and you can get it at eclad.com.
Yes, go buy it, and all the other stuff. Okay, so we're gonna jump right into the news. So today in news, Calvin Klein Inc. has announced a new global creative strategy for the company, which will unify all Calvin Klein brands under one creative vision. As a result, Francisco Costa, Francisco Costa, women's creative director of Calvin Klein Collection, and Zucchelli, men's creative director of Calvin Klein Collection, will be leaving the company. Designer Raf Simons is rumored to be named as their replacement. The strategy comes as part of the global evolution in the direction of the Calvin Klein brand, which began with the company's reacquisition of its jeans and underwear businesses in 2013. As the company continues to build itself into a $10 billion global retail sales business, this undertaking will further solidify the brand's positioning worldwide and pave the way for the future long-term global growth. The new brand direction will ultimately follow one creative vision across all categories of the business.
Okay. And for news for Kohl's, they extended their commitment to children's health initiatives, and they unveiled their new Kohl's Care collection with 100% of the net profit benefiting children's health initiatives nationwide. And so today, Kohl's has raised nearly $300 million through its Kohl's Care merchandise program, which is great. I've always said they love stuffed animals, or bugs that they have. And to reinforce the company's commitment to children's health, they donated financial support to hospitals across the country. And the donations, they fund hospital outreach programs, focus on children's health initiatives, and address whatever issues are needed in the hospital's community. And so it's no cost to the families, it helps with injury prevention, asthma awareness, dental care, fitness, and like I said, there's books and toys that are available that you can get there, so if you want to support it, they're doing penguins for this new one, which is awesome for the summer, the Penguin on Vacation book, Penguin's Big Adventure book, and Penguin soft toy. So any penguin fans out there should get that. They have a clownfish toy and a bear and a dinosaur, so a lot of great things.
Yeah, it sounds, and the cause, it's a great cause.
Yeah, you're buying stuff animal. Why not buy one of those?
That gives back.
Yes.
Okay, so luxury accessories brand Want Less Essentials and Garrett Lee California Optical have come together for the first time to create a limited edition capsule collection of eyewear. The brand celebrated their collaboration on Wednesday, April 13th at the Want Less Essentials store in Manhattan's West Village neighborhood. The collection consists of two frames and one sun clip. Garrett Lake's best-selling vintage-inspired Wilson frame served as the basis for the collaboration, while Want Less Essentials added a leather lens trim to in the black and mocha to make the collection come to life. The Want Less Essential and Garrett Lake capsule collection will be sold at Garrett Lake's Los Angeles location, New York, and San Francisco stores, and GarrettLake.com, Want Less Essentials New York store, and WantLessEssentials.com. An additional fine retailers worldwide as well. The collaboration frames are each priced at $525, and the sun clip is priced at $235. A little steep.
And speaking of something that's steep but not as steep, it's Saks off of Fifth Avenue. So steep originally, but off of Fifth, it's a little more affordable. Anyway, so Saks off Fifth and DSWB announced new store openings, and they're planning on announcing two stores this fall. The first is a 33,000 square foot location in Washington, D.C.'s Thurman Arnold Building, and that's going to open this September, and that will be their official entry into the D.C. market. And then they also have a 25,000 square foot shop at the Promenade, which is a destination at Frank Lloyd Wright Boulevard and North Scottsdale Road in Scottsdale, Arizona. So that will be in October. And then DSW is going to open 40 stores this month, one at Hampton Roads Crossing in Suffolk, Virginia, and that'll be on April 16th. Oh, so that happened.
That happened.
So they're there, you can go now. And then new shops at Dulles Landing in Dulles, Virginia, and then the Kingston Mall in Kingston, New York, and then South Park Mall in Strongville, Ohio, tomorrow. So
yeah.
So as of tomorrow, DSW is going to operate 477 stores in 42 states.
Okay, and so we're going to do something a little bit different. We're going to have Sarah come in, because earlier we were talking about the importance of women and
empowerment.
We're trying to go back to it, but empowerment and beauty. And we just wanted to kind of like get a feel of what people out there feel, you know? Because, you know, of course, Casey and Caitlin are not the only people in this world that have opinions. So, Sarah.
So I've actually just found it very interesting because I was looking at a few different things online, and there's a lot of articles saying, you know, the most celebrities with the most natural beauty, and like, you know, 66 celebrities look great without makeup. And it's really interesting because we're talking about natural beauty as opposed to like cosmetic beauty being empowering, but then these articles can also put more pressure on people to feel like they have to look naturally beautiful. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then I think a lot of people are actually, like, you know, like being very hateful towards, like, say, Kylie Jenner, who's like really, really young, and they're saying she's wearing too much makeup and she shouldn't wear so much eyelashes and her lips are too big. But then when before all that, they were like commenting on how she was not the prettiest Kardashian.
Yeah. So it's like you can't.
So I found it very interesting because there was at least three articles about 66 celebrities look great at makeup, but then you do another search and it's, oh, look how hard that celebrity looks at makeup, you know? So
that's,
it's like,
true.
You
know. So which one is it?
I think that, like, as Rochelle was saying, it's like every person is different. Like, you know, if you feel comfortable being completely natural, then do. And if you don't, then you won't wear eyelashes and wear, get your nails done.
Yeah, and not care about what people think.
Exactly.
Because then you'll never,
like, not telling people what to do. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think it's like, but then like the no makeup Monday, like they have that. And then you see all these celebrities look great without makeup, and you're like, I'm not comfortable posting a selfie without makeup on. So it's really like a matter of preference.
And then it's like also to do with how you feel. Like if you want to wear a little makeup and you think that, oh, people are going to think I have too much makeup on and I'm not natural, like, so, like, if you want to wear it, like, I personally, when I go out, I like to wear a lot of makeup.
Yeah.
I don't really care if, like, people think I'm wearing too much, and I've been told
I love that. People don't care.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't have to be, like, it's just what you want to do. Like,
yeah.
And that's what Rochelle was saying as well, like, you know, even though, like, she was lashes, not everyone likes them, they're not going to suit everyone, not everyone can wear them.
Yeah.
So
it's like a fun little thing. You want to have a fun color of lipstick or throw on some big lashes.
So I guess the moral of the story is it can be empowering or it just may not be. I guess it depends on the day, on the person, on the style, the person's style, and I guess what you're feeling. But I'm totally against like the outside opinions that come into play when it's just not necessary. Let people live and be comfortable in their own skin.
Yeah, I think that's, especially with the Kylie Jenner thing, I saw someone who created a video, basically like a montage of pictures of her and all the horrible comments that people have made of her
that's
online.
Because
he's saying, like, he's trying to show like how much like we gossip online and we attack people, and you know, how she's just a young girl and like people are saying that she's wearing too much makeup. And it's like, well, if you're commenting on her appearance all the time, then maybe she feels like she needs to do that, you know? And then once she does that, then people tear her down again. So,
can't win.
Poor girl.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Sarah.
Yes.
That was super crazy. I know. Good piece of information. Okay, so Spring Taste New York City. We're going to move into the event for this week. So, Spring Taste New York City is happening on Friday, May 13th at the Metropolitan Pavilion. Spring Taste New York City is a great way to experience the best New York City foods. Expect restaurant, beer, wine, and spirits, top chefs, desserts, and so much more. It sounds,
we should really try to do this.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah. It will include more than 60 restaurants, eateries, breweries, and distilleries, and decadent dessert. Okay, most importantly, they're going to have desserts, people. So proceeds from the event will go to City Harvest. Buy tickets now at Spring Taste New York City. Oh, so it's springtastenyc.eventbrite.com. Use promo code, we even got your promo code. Use promo code SPRING for 20% off. The event will be held at the Metropolitan Pavilion at 125 West 18th Street from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. Tickets start at $40 and go all the way up to $199.
And then the Young Event Professionals are hosting an event on Wednesday, April 27th here in New York City at the Supernova. Novotel Hotel called the Sunset on Broadway Sprinkling Mixer, and it's a rooftop mixer since weather's getting nice.
Woo!
And I'll begin at 6 p.m. and go on until 9. And Novotel Hotel is located at 226 West 52nd Street, and tickets are only $11.54.
That's really good. That is $12.
But yeah, super affordable. So you can go to Eventbrite/Sunset on Broadway Sprinkling Mixer for tickets.
Yes, and in New York there will be the Bacon and Bear Classic. Yes, people.
I want to go to this, but it's a little pricey.
Okay. Bacon and Bear, though.
Yes.
Okay, so it's happening on April 22nd through the 23rd at Citi Field. Tickets range from $79 to $139. Just bacon, people.
It's unlimited.
It's unlimited bacon. Oh, my gosh. And include on the wall. Oh, and unlimited craft beer entertainment, interactive games, and a souvenir glass, so you can continue to drink all night with your bacon. There will also be a bacon eating. I want to join this. A bacon eating contest. I would lose, but I would try. Infused food from local chefs. It also allows you to go right onto the same field that the Mets play on. Oh, that's cool. So if you're a bacon beer or baseball fan, this is the perfect event.
The three B's. The necessities: bacon, beer, baseball. I mean, that's pretty good to me.
I love it. Yeah. So, that's it.
Okay, and now also this is like a New York event, but technically held in New Jersey. It is the, I can't do it.
It's a Veuve Clicquot.
I can't pronounce that champagne, but it's like the classy gold one. And they have their Polo Classic. It'll be held on Saturday, June 4th. It's kind of far by, but I thought I would bring it up because tickets go on sale this Friday. And they sell out super fast for general admission. So if you want to get a ticket, I'm letting you know now. And so if you're a polo lover, you can watch the polo matches while sipping champagne at Liberty State Park. It has a great view of the skyline of New York and the Statue of Liberty and Ellis Island, all that good stuff. So it's 20 minutes up and $75 for general admission, which includes access to their champagne bar, food from the most popular food trucks, and lawn games, and prime seating to cheer on the sidelines for the polo match.
Ooh.
That's a nice little classy event.
Yeah, no, I've never been to a polo game. I can't imagine that it could be fun, but people go, so it must be fun. So, you know, for all you polo fans, it's a great, quite frankly, I'll be going to the Triple B's. Bacon, baseball, and beer.
Yes. Same price. Almost.
Okay, guys, so that wraps up tonight's episode of eClad Chat. We would like to give a special thank you to Rochelle Magno for dropping in and talking to us, informing us of just kind of like, really just, giving us all the deets that we didn't know that we didn't have. So it was really, really cool. Anyway, so next week is our 50th show. 50 shows! Oh my gosh. So, which is really, really cool. We have a special show for you guys next week, which is actually pre-recorded. And so we'll be streaming that. So make sure you're listening. And we'll also, I guess, be celebrating our 50th show with you. So next week is Ray Edwards. Very, very, very interesting guy. I think you guys will like him. So he is the undefeated heavyweight boxing champ and former defensive football player for the Atlanta Falcons and transitioning into boxing as the heavyweight boxer. He's also a fitness model and a coach. Very, very good looking too, so, you know, not hard on the eyes. It was a super intriguing conversation. You're gonna, I think he'll catch you guys off guard as he caught us off guard. Very interesting person, but lots of fun. So make sure you catch the show. And thanks again for tuning in. See you, catch you next time. Remember guys, love life and wear it well. Have a good night.
Engage in style and perform in elegance at eClad's Hidden Gem Gallery and Event Space. eClad's Hidden Gem is an 1,100 square foot venue in Manhattan's premier Midtown East neighborhood that blends both contemporary style and elegance to create a sophisticated events venue. eClad's Hidden Gem provides an intimate, luxurious, and exquisite setting. It hosts everything from cocktail receptions, bridal showers and parties, to pop-up shops and product launches, art shows, photo and video shoots, and corporate style conferences, seminars, and presentations at an affordable price. eClad's Hidden Gem is located at 122 East 57th Street, New York City, 10022. If you're looking for a beautiful yet affordable venue for hire, then eClad's Hidden Gem is your venue of choice. Head over to y-cladshiddengem.com, email us at hiddengem@y-clad.com, or simply give us a call at 212-644-6445 and rent eClad's Hidden Gem today. Make it what you want. eClad's Hidden Gem.